For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. I'm joined, as always, by Armani Buckets, Brandon Deutsch, and Jake Dicker. We are without the elusive Arash Markazi. He is in beautiful Tennessee, but how are you guys doing other than missing Arash, as per usual?
I am not doing so well because I know we talk about this a lot, but I don't know what to do at like nighttime right now. I know baseball, I know we talk about this, but is there a good TV show or movie that you guys recommend? Because I am so bored.
Wait. Are you big into like the Marvel universe at all?
Not really.
Okay. Have you seen any of like the really good Marvel shows that Netflix made with the rights, like Daredevil or The Punisher?
No, but I know of both.
You got to watch both of those.
I like go on Disney Plus and watch like catch up on The Mandalorian and like stuff like that. If you're really into like
That's
Star
super
Wars and
family
stuff like that.
Like I feel like Armand needs gritty acting.
or The Boys.
Oh yeah, The Boys. You've never seen The Boys, dude?
Not yet.
The heck are you doing,
stream that,
bro?
Stream that. That one's it's gritty, but like it's
That's the
it's
best
good.
Show on television because it pushes the boundaries of everything.
All yeah, right, no, so. That one's really good. Do you have any recs, Jake? Are you like,
no,
I'm
not
into
really.
Baseball, so screw you.
No, but I mean, I don't know. I haven't had much to do with my nights either, so I decided to go to the gym last night, and okay. I squatted for the first time in a very long
Respect.
Time. And I
What'd you hit?
It doesn't matter, but I can't feel my legs today.
Wait, Respect. does your gym, how late is your gym open till? Because mine is not.
I have family in one of the high rises on Wilshire, so there's a gym in their building that's open 24 hours that I've been using.
I'm so jealous about that.
Respect.
So yeah, no,
dude, I'm telling you.
I went last night at like 8:30.
Legs are the most important. You got to work legs. That's all I work pretty much now.
Yeah.
I don't even work upper body, really.
I mean, you know me, I'm into yoga and I just go do cardio. I'm like, and I sauna. The sauna is my church. I'm not going to lie on that one. So everybody go in the sauna. It's really good for you. Well, okay. Let's get to the headlines, guys. Brought to you by Circa Sports, Circa Millions, and Circa Survivor. Pro football contests are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Let's do this. Kyler Murray made the news for his contract addendum that requires him to have 4 hours a week of independent study, aka film watching sessions on his own without the team, and he cannot go on his phone or be distracted during that time. His contract can be voided if he does not fulfill the requirements. What do you guys think about this, and what does it say about Kyler Murray's commitment?
I think this is very concerning about Kyler Murray's commitment. I know Ryan Clark on Get Up this morning was discussing that, you know, he and other committed athletes, 4 hours a week, they would do 4 hours a day of their own film studies because they're committed. In season, you got to want it. And Kyler Murray has shown in the past that he does not want to win. I mean, it's just indicative of his actions throughout the season, you know, in him complaining about wanting more money, stuff like that. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I mean, go get your bag. I'm all for it. At the same time, when someone pays you to be the cornerstone of your franchise, you're really letting all of your teammates down by not going the extra mile. He's been able to get by because he's honestly one of the greatest athletes in the world. If you're talking about what he did, you know, on the baseball field, and then what he drafted 8th or 9th overall by the Athletics, maybe even 7th, I can't remember exactly. But then also being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, he could get by with his physical gifts, right? He doesn't have to watch film to really show off his arm and his legs and stuff. But going that extra mile will help this Cardinals team get to the playoffs and will help them succeed. And I just don't know if he really wants that. I know he's on Twitch all the time, and I'm all for people having their own personal brands, but you can't, like, the other guys on your team are trying to put food on the table for their family. You got to be there for them, and you got to be the leader of this team, especially since you're getting paid like one now.
This is interesting, though. I have a quick question for you guys, because this is your generation that's like, well, I didn't grow up with this in my hand. I didn't grow up with a cell phone, an iPad. Yeah. Like, my parents didn't put an iPad in front of me and say, like, here, this is your nanny. Like, I went, and I'm sure that you guys did too, because you guys are a totally different breed, but did, like, going outside and your parents just being like, look, go play ball. Here's a ball. Go and play. And, like, going and doing that stuff. You guys grew up with this. So what I'm wondering is, how often do you spend on the phone? How often do you spend on your iPad? And is this really, I don't know, like, should he even have this on there? But it's kind of sad that it is on there, that this mandate is on there for 4 hours of weekly film study that he has to do.
Yeah, I feel like this independent study thing is something that, like, a franchise, like, jokingly threatens a player with, but, like, never would actually, like, put in their contract. Like, hey, if you don't study, we're going to force you to sit down and, like, lock your phone. Like,
well, it just shows you how bad it is.
No, but my point is, it's like, yeah, that's so absurd that they had to actually go ahead and put it into his contract, where to the point if he doesn't do it, I don't know if there's, like, a 2 strikes, 3 strikes, you're out type right. thing with this, but how many offenses he can have with this. But if he, I mean, he voids $230 million.
He doesn't.
I mean, it's written in his contract. He has no choice.
Let me ask you this, but, Armand. Yeah. Do you think that this was leaked by the Cardinals to put extra pressure on Murray?
For sure.
That's a really good point. I don't know, but my thing was going to be, if this has happened before and we just didn't hear about it publicly, I don't know if, you know, this is a thing that other teams have maybe put in contracts that have not, you know, been released to the public, but it yeah. would be, I guess, a smart way to make sure that he has additional pressure by leaking it to the public like that. It's embarrassing, though. I mean, to be, you know, have your hand held as an adult and say, you know, you have to do the mandatory 4 hours. It made me think of something about Rondo. When the stories about that. His film study, like, on even when he was, you know, on the Lakers and, like, they won
10 hours a day,
and some, he's just like
crazy, and this is why he's had a great career.
It reminds me of the whole Jamarcus Russell thing. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, where handed him tape and they're like, "Go watch this and come back the next day." And
well, and that's
asked him about it, and he told them all this stuff.
That's another point Ryan Clark made on ESPN on Get Up this morning. He was like, "I mean, this is like a Jamarcus Russell situation times 10, like the new era of this, right?" Like. Yeah. It's embarrassing. I wouldn't say for the Cardinals. I think it was a smart leak by them, because then it puts extra pressure on Kyler to take it to the next level.
Yeah, it makes him
accountable.
Exactly.
It's accountable. Yeah. Accountability. And I'm all for the new era of athletes going gaming and doing that and promoting their brand elsewhere. But that's like the extra time you have. You really, in season, you should be, I don't think any athlete should be on Twitch during the season, in my opinion. That's like, that's your job. Like I mentioned, there's guys on your team that are making maybe 500, 600 grand, have to give half the taxes and have to put food on their family's plate, right?
So what exactly is he doing on Twitch? I'm sorry to...
Well, like,
do they stream video games or like...
I mean, I think he's a part of FaZe, no?
I have no idea.
I mean, I'm not too big into Twitch, but I just know he's a gamer and he's pretty good and he kind of has his own brand on Twitch and he has his own marketing deals.
Couldn't he just pay somebody to do this for him?
No, because the whole point, it's like a consumer. Like it's a, well, for the Twitch?
Yeah, I mean, just any of his social media.
It's a consumer. It's like on TikTok, like what Armand and I do. They love when we talk about stuff, right? It's the person they get attached to and like what they do, right? So if Kyler, they love the intimacy between him playing and them watching live streaming, right? Because he's Kyler Murray and he's an athlete. No, that's cool. It's like the consumer.
Like I'm playing against him or something like that.
Or you're just watching him play, you know? Like that's part of the, like Twitch doesn't even have just simply gaming anymore. You could just go on and do it. I mean, it's a new generation. I'm all for it. I'm just saying, like, in the season, this is embarrassing for Kyler Murray, and now I think he'll have a good season because he'll be held accountable.
I mean, from just a business organizational standpoint, it's weird to me that this screams we don't trust Kyler Murray and they're going to commit $230 million to him. But I mean, if he's performing how he's performing and he's not sitting there watching film and doesn't really know what he's looking for and defensive schemes, I mean, it's kind of scary for the rest of the league if he's able to actually lock in and use this to his advantage. Well, even though, I mean, it seems
Cause
he's got this whole lazy stereotype around him now. But, I mean, but he is. I mean, he is.
Yeah, like, I mean, but think about it like this. Like, he can get by with his talent, but now since he'll lock in a little more, it kind of forces him to do that. I mean, this is a guy who is arguably the MVP of the NFL for the first 8 games, right?
But if he wants longevity in this league, he can't rely on this, right? Like, if he wants to be in the NFL for longer than, you know, he's doing right now, he can't rely on this. Like, he's going to get hurt. He's going to, like, something's going to happen where he's going to get blindsided one day. He's like, something's going to happen where he's going to get, his career will be shot or it's going to deter, because you cannot simply rely on your athleticism. You just can't.
Well, yeah, but he has a good arm, though. So, I mean, he's not, even if he, like, loses his speed by, like, 10 more years, it's like, I mean, he's going to be athletic for 8 to 10 more years with his legs.
Again, athleticism can only get you so far. Work harder, not smart. Or work,
I agree,
smarter,
and that's why
harder.
Tom Brady is, like, people say Tom Brady's not even a good athlete. He's one of the smartest people, probably the smartest person to ever play football.
I mean, the man's in his 40s.
Especially at the quarterback position. Yeah.
The man's in his 40s and he's still in the league. Yeah, you know, this kid's in his 20s.
The only man who wants to play, get tackled for a living instead of live with a supermodel all the time.
All right, Steph Curry. Let's move on to Brian Windhorst, who reported yesterday that he didn't think that the Nets were in any active talks for a Kevin Durant deal, despite Shams and Woj reporting that the Celtics were engaged with the Nets on a deal. Could this have been a leak from the Nets side of things? And do you guys think at some point the Nets will budge on Kevin Durant trade?
I do not think they will budge on a Kevin Durant trade. I know Woj is reporting that, you know, they want to do it on their terms. And Brian Windhorst, it's just interesting to me that Shams, they leaked this information to Shams, right? I mean, I'm assuming that's what happened. Saying that the Celtics were engaged and offered this trade package. If that's true, I know I mentioned yesterday, I don't know why the Celtics would have offered that trade package of Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and 2 firsts for KD. I wouldn't have done that, especially, and you see Jaylen Brown working out underwater. I mean, he's putting in that work and he's getting better, and he outperformed Tatum like 4 times in the finals, right? So, like, this is a guy that's a cornerstone of your team. You don't want to ruin the team chemistry. And for the Nets side of things, that's the best offer they're going to get. That's the best offer they're going to get by far. By far. Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and 2 firsts for Kevin Durant. That's the best offer they're going to get. It's not even close.
I think that it was leaked by the Nets, but I don't know. I think that things are going to heat up in September. I really do. And I think that eventually there's going to be a crossroads where the Nets either do this or don't do it. And I think that they will do it at the end of the day. I know we've gone back and forth about this. I actually spent a lot of time last night going over. Now, I only got through the Eastern Conference, but I do think that there are some trades that teams can offer. Like, the Raptors have all of their picks. They can throw Siakam in there.
And OG and Trent and are one, you know.
There's a lot of, like, potential deals. And I heard this from Zach Lowe, but he was saying how there's been, teams are kind of, like, waiting and watching and seeing, like, okay, well, now it's only Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and a pick. And I know I just said only, but, you know, it's less than the five or six that they were talking about or whatever after the Rudy Gobert trade. It sounds like the market is starting to somewhat at least correct itself to the point where it might not be like the Godfather trade package that you that it looked like you had to put together.
Yeah.
And that might mean that it's realistic that he gets moved. I think that by the time that September rolls around, there's going to be like a lot of, okay, fine, we'll do three picks and a star, but we'll see.
Yeah, I definitely think this could have been a leak from the Nets side in an attempt to get other teams to up their offer. But I mean, this has just become a standoff between Brooklyn and the rest of the league, right? Someone's gonna have to budge first, whether that's Brooklyn deciding that they're willing to move off that three star five pick haul that they wanted. Yeah. They're not gonna get or it's another team willing to add another first round pick or add another solid rotational player into the package. I don't know if this happened or not, because if I'm Brooklyn, I don't see any reason why I need to sacrifice if I can walk into next year with KD and Kyrie on the floor if they say that they will, that they're going to play. And there's no reason. I mean, I think if they're both on the roster, they'll both play on opening night. I feel like there's no reason for them to sacrifice here, if that makes sense. Like, I just don't. It's Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Like, you're gonna win games. It's, you figure it out from there.
Yeah, but if some people don't want to be there, you know, don't you want to just get rid of them? Like, I wouldn't want to keep somebody that doesn't really necessarily want to be there.
I don't know if you trade a Kevin Durant, a generational talent, for significantly less than his value to please him. Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah. That's why I think that, you know, he's on Brooklyn to start. I think this might be a whole ploy to just get Kyrie off the team. I think Kevin Durant would go back to Brooklyn without Kyrie, not with him. Everyone's like, oh, KD might go back to Brooklyn if Kyrie wants to go back.
Well, wasn't it on Instagram that Kyrie was like, I'm staying here regardless?
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Come on. No, he changes his mind every 10 minutes.
Absolutely. I'm not denying that whatsoever. He's very up
Throw
and
some
down.
Sage in there. You
know? Kyrie stood at center court in TD Garden with a microphone and said, I will be back next year.
Yeah. He said that left. With Brooklyn. And then he's like, I want to be a Laker. Then I want to be a Net. It's just like, oh my gosh. That's something that's going to be interesting too. The Lakers have a ton of work to still do with their roster. And they're waiting on this Kyrie Irving deal. Right?
The Lakers are in terrible shape.
They're in terrible shape.
Horrendous.
They're not even a top 8 team in the West right now. Not even close.
Are
you
kidding? Yesterday.
You said, oh, like it's a...
No, like, I
come on.
To think of
LA Clippers, Denver Nuggets, Phoenix Suns, Golden State Warriors, Memphis Grizzlies, Dallas Mavericks, New Orleans Pelicans, and Minnesota Timberwolves. All better than
compelling
that.
Compelling point.
I was watching some ESPN shows on in the background yesterday.
Mark
and,
Jackson.
And some woman said that the Lakers are a top 4 team in the West, and I literally started laughing
woman?
Out loud. I don't know.
Mark Jackson said on ESPN yesterday that he thinks they're a title contender.
No chance.
I mean, with who? Lonnie Walker shooting 80% from three? Maybe, if he could do that.
He was saying Darvin Ham's defensive emphasis and health. And I was like, oh, well, I mean.
Well, if Davis is healthy, yeah, they have a shot. But, like, come on, dude. They
have a shot at the playoffs. I don't think they have a shot at a title.
If they send Westbrook home and they have Anthony Davis and LeBron healthy, they have a shot at a title. Let's but if Westbrook's Davis, on the team, yeah. They do not.
If he plays 80 games, how many wins do they have?
50.
Whoa.
I'm just baffled that you think Anthony Davis is a shot at playing 80 games.
let's calm down. Let's hope he plays 60, okay? He'll play 60. 65 is like great.
He'll play 70 games.
He'll play 70 games?
I'll even take the under on that one. I mean,
70
games,
bro?
Kid gloves player. Yeah. Like, he's...
Hey, but think about it like this. Think about it like this. Since Kawhi, George, and Davis came to L.A., guess who's played the most games?
Wow.
Anthony Davis. And who has the ring? I mean,
good for them.
You can talk crap about Davis and street clothes.
What are they doing right now?
What are they doing at Clippers? I don't know. They have zero titles. I don't know what they're doing. Like, what do you mean? And their uniforms look like they bought them from, like, a sweatshop in downtown LA. It's the ugliest uniform in the league.
Back and let you guys.
No, I'm kidding. We'll talk about uniforms later.
Well, we're running low on time. We got to get to baseball. So Next up, Tony Gonsolin gave up 4 runs in the 5th inning to the Washington Nationals, including a 2-run triple to Juan Soto in his first loss of the season. I still can't believe they lost this game. We knew Gonsolin wouldn't be able to replicate his first half of the season, but with Kershaw struggling in his last start, guys, and now Gonsolin struggling too, should the Dodgers be concerned?
I don't think so. I mean, we've been talking about it on the show. Gonsolin, no way he's going to replicate that first half. Going to regress to the mean a little bit. Kershaw, you know, made a couple bad pitches. Darren Ruff hit a ball over the wall. Wouldn't be too concerned a day game on a Sunday. Those things tend to happen. But the Dodgers rotation, as I've said, is deep, but I don't know if I love guys like Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson on the mound in October. But, I mean, you're going to get Walker Buehler back. You're going to get Dustin May back. Hopefully, and we'll see what he can do in terms of
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Do you bring up Bobby Miller for September?
I don't think it can hurt you. I mean, I think you can bring him up in September and bring him out and, you know, use him in like the 5th, 6th inning out of the pen in low leverage situations and see what you got. And then, you know, if he has success.
Well, but Dustin May, so what does Dustin May fit into this equation? Is he going to be a starter? Because I'll be honest with you. I don't think the Dodgers beat the Braves in a 7-game series right now. I think the Braves have a better lineup and a better pitching staff.
The Braves have a better lineup than the Dodgers.
Yes, Acuna and Riley by themselves. Maybe Freeman, Trey Turner, and Betts. Yeah, but Betts is streaky. Betts will go 40 for 40 and then 0 for 75. But just on Muncy and Bellinger being in the lineup, it weakens the whole thing.
Like,
I would take the Braves in a series.
I don't think Max Muncy's going to be getting...
Okay, so think about it. Let's give the Dodgers the edge over the Braves in lineup. Okay, Braves have a deeper pitching staff and a deeper bullpen. So
the Braves do not have a deeper bullpen than the Dodgers. We can have the conversation about the rotation. The Braves do not have a deeper bullpen than the Dodgers. There's no chance. There's no chance that the Braves. Give me names. Will Smith.
Minter's a beast.
Jansen,
better than any closer the Dodgers have.
AAA.
You were just talking about the bullpen.
Well, just the bullpen in general. But yeah, Bickford gives up like 8 runs every time he comes into the game.
The Dodgers are getting all their bullpen reinforcements back.
I'm just not as high. I think the Dodgers are a great baseball team, but I think in a 7-game series.
They've won 19 of their last 22 games.
I know, but I just think in a 7-game series, I'm taking the defending champs. They didn't even have their best player, and they won it all last year. So.
I mean, yeah, sure. But I mean, the Dodgers bullpen is not going to be.
I'll give you this. No one else is going to beat him in a series. It's got to be the Braves.
Just Atlanta.
Those are the only two teams that I can see coming out of the NL.
Not the Mets.
No one else can come out. No way. The Mets are going to met at some point.
I think
bro.
The Mets would handle the Braves in 7 games.
Really? They're going to met at some point, dog.
Mets going to met. It's true.
Unfortunately, it's like the Angels.
Yeah. I mean, it happens every year.
I was just going to ask you: Is this? We only have a couple seconds left till the next segment, but like, is this only because you're an Angels fan and you're just like hating on the Dodgers?
No, I don't hate the Dodgers. I just see the reality. Dodger fans are delusional half the time. They think that their team's going to win the World Series every year, and they never do.
I mean, I think personally as like a realistic Dodger fan, I think that like...
They have a good shot.
Yes. Like, I mean, we've been blessed with abundance of riches, but like at this current moment in time, the bullpen is an issue though, and it always has been. Well, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend, guys, Dave Smith, when we return to the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit circusports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground,
when we come around. Welcome back, guys, to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Just as a reminder, if you have any questions or comments or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Los Angeles, Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline at 310-400-0340. That number is 310-400-0340. Also, Don't forget about our email address. I know, super, super old school. At least it's not snail mail. That is arashmarkazishow@gmail.com. That is arashmarkazishow@gmail.com, all lowercase. And with that, guys, let's go to the Circa Sports Guest Hotline, Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with 12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit circasports.com for details. We are here with a wonderful friend of the show, mentor of Mr. Arash Markazi, and loves his tomatoes, Mr. Dave Smith. Dave, how are you?
I'm good. How's everybody doing today? Noah Rush, huh?
Noah Rush. Yeah, yeah. He is missed, but, you know, he's enjoying good old Tennessee over there. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Trust me. I wish he was there. I kind of wish I was with him right now, to be honest with you. So, but we are all in studio and looking forward to talking to you.
Well, thank you. Looking forward to it. Let's get going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Dave, I wanted to know about what you think right now. Dodgers just lost to the Nationals, not a great team. Wondering what your thoughts are. Should we be concerned about the Dodgers? Should we be concerned about that bullpen? What's going on with that and your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the bullpen's a little bit of a concern when you're looking forward to the postseason here, but I think the Dodgers are still the best team in the National League, although they were last year as well, and it didn't help them when they lost to the Atlanta Braves in the playoffs. But yeah, I would think come the trade deadline, I think the Dodgers are going to have to get a little bit of pitching help, especially in the bullpen, because the bullpen these days in 2022 is so important, but particularly in the postseason, and particularly when you have a guy like Clayton Kershaw who usually blows up and doesn't pitch well in the postseason.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, Dave, I wanted to ask about where your thoughts are on the Dodgers in a 7-game series against the Braves. You were just talking about this with Jake in the first segment. I personally think, unbiasedly, that the Braves would beat the Dodgers in a 7-game series because I don't love the way Kershaw and Gonsolin have been pitching lately. The staff has injury problems. Obviously, when Buehler comes back, they'll be better. The pen isn't fantastic, especially the closer part of it. And I think the Braves can go toe-to-toe to them in the lineup. So, I mean, I like the defending champs. They didn't even have their best player in the World Series last year, and they still won. So I think that's the only team that can beat the Dodgers. But I think that it's very likely. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And again, I think it all boils down to Clayton Kershaw in the postseason throughout his career. His ERA has doubled over what it is in the regular season, and he's not good in the postseason. He's not good when the lights shine the brightest and when the pressure is on. So, yeah, I agree with you. I would go with Atlanta over the Dodgers again in the postseason here. A little bit of a weak bullpen for the Dodgers and the perennial Kershaw blow-ups in the postseason.
Yeah, I just kind of want to piggyback off of that. Outside of Clayton Kershaw's last start in his previous, what am I looking at, his last 10 starts before that, including a 6-run outing in Colorado, he had a 1.96 ERA and almost 60 innings. So I'm not incredibly concerned about Clayton Kershaw. Tony Gonsolin, you know, was overperforming and, as we've said, is going to regress the mean a little bit. So that definitely is a concern. But the Dodgers bullpen is a top six bullpen in terms of ERA this year. And that's not, you know, Blake Treinen has barely touched the mound. Bruce Dar-Gratterall is on the IL. Daniel Hudson went down out for the year. Tommy Canley hasn't touched the mound. Victor Gonzalez on the IL. So the Dodgers are going to get these guys that they've relied very heavy on back, more of their high leverage relievers. So, I mean, I think the Dodger bullpen, once we get to October, is going to look very different than it looks now. But I did want to ask you about the Angels, who I saw yesterday are now on pace for 95 losses, which would tie the franchise record for losses in a season. You know, just 2 months ago, we were talking about this team being, you know, one of the best teams in the American League and a playoff contender. How did it go? How do we go from so high to so low with this team so fast?
Well, number one, it's the curse of the sports god that I put on them about 10 or 11 years ago. That's the big thing. But, you know, and seriously, the pitching's not very good, and the roster's constructed poorly, and they've spent the free agent signings have been a disaster over the years with the Angels with Artie Moreno and company. By the way, how Artie Moreno hasn't fired everybody in that front office from the president on down is inexplicable. I mean, he must, I know a lot of them are business partners of him from the old billboard days, but how has everybody not been cleaned out of there with all the money they spent on free agents? But here's the one thing. I want to know if you guys agree with me about this. I said this the other day. I think it's time to trade Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani if I'm the Angels. And I know there's been rumors about maybe moving Ohtani by the All-Star break, but, you know, Mike Trout, as great as he is, he's going to be 31 in a week. The injuries are starting to pile up over the last two or three years. Now he's out again for an indefinite amount of time. He's hitting 270. And as great as he is, he's still got 8 years and $300 million left on his deal. He might not be the easiest guy to trade. Ohtani, you could never get more value for him than you could get right now. So they're horrible with the two of them. So you could probably save $500 million, which is what it's going to take to re-sign Ohtani in a year or so. And another $300 you could dump on Mike Trout. I think it's time to blow it up and to get as many young prospects and as many good young players as they can for these two. There's no point in keeping them around with this organization.
And Dave, I agree with you completely. Growing up an Angel fan my whole life, unfortunately, I do think it's time to rebuild. But there was an interesting report that if they do trade Ohtani, they want MLB ready, like, guys, not prospects.
Yeah.
And for me, that's concerning. They want to keep their, quote, playoff hopes alive in the next couple of years. It's not...
Well, why, for Sohai, you could get players and prospects, I would think.
And I would do that. I would want a haul of prospects plus a couple MLB guys that can come in. But is it concerning that they don't trust their player development department? Why wouldn't they want a haul of prospects like the Padres have with the, you know, Robert Hassel, CJ Abrams?
Why would they trust their player development?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, they hired hired Perry Minashian just 2 years ago, and, you know, from the Toronto Blue Jays, he was the head scouting director. What's going on here? Do they need an overhaul? Do these guys need to all be canned, Dave?
Yes. Well, see, that's the problem. We can talk about a haul of prospects all we want, but they'll probably get the wrong prospects and none of them will pan out with the incompetence of that front office.
Like Joe Adell,
again,
right?
Lies the How has Artie Moreno not fired, I mean, from Dennis Kuhl and John Carpino and all the general manager, how have all of them not been canned with the performance of the Angels over the last 7 or 8 years? I mean, what more evidence would you need? This organization needs a complete over. And by the way, it's easy to blame those guys, but it starts at the top. With Moreno, he's the guy who went out and gave Albert Pujols $240 million when he could have signed him for half that. And he's the guy who went out and signed Josh Hamilton for $125 million and CJ Wilson and Rendon.
Vernon Wells.
How about trading for Justin Upton with his hundreds of millions?
And Anthony Rendon.
But a disaster. Yeah, I just mentioned Rendon. Yeah, a complete disaster. It's and you know, Artie Moreno's the guy. He went out, he signed Josh Hamilton and Albert Pujols on his own without consulting the general man. He goes off half-cocked and signs guys when he doesn't know what he's doing.
And now, by the way, Dave, DePoto, who was the GM at the time, Jerry DePoto of the Angels, wasn't allowed to do anything. Artie pushed him to do that. And now he's thriving as the Seattle GM.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Artie's a difficult guy to work for, and he doesn't know what he's doing, obviously, and he thinks he's a baseball man, which is the biggest problem.
Yeah, I think in terms of an Ohtani trade, I don't think it happens if the Angels want to get the most back until this offseason, strictly just because if they're trading Ohtani, it's to a contender, right? And these contenders don't, if they want MLB-ready talent, they're not going to give up the guys that are contributing for them this year that could help them win a World Series. So I think if they want to get the most back, it's probably in the offseason. But I think the biggest issue with the Angels...
Why would he stay? Why would he stay in 24
at this point, he's probably good as gone. So you've got
Sam Blum of The Athletic, who's probably the best, not probably, is the best Angels beat writer right now. He was saying there's a toxic positivity problem on the Angels. Like, they still think they'll make the playoffs this year and next year. And so even if it doesn't go their way this year, which it's not, they're obviously not going to make the playoffs this year. They'd be lucky to finish as not even a bottom five team in either league, right? Like, they'd be lucky to be.
Well, they're 11 and a half games out. Even though they're taking three wild card teams this year, they're 11 and a half back and there's six or seven teams ahead of them.
They're so cocky about like how they think they're going to compete next year. And it's really unrealistic that they think they can retain Ohtani, and Artie makes all of his money from the Angels off Ohtani in the Japanese brand deals. That's another thing. Artie, you know, he wants to make money too. And he's like, well, maybe we can convince Ohtani to stay. He signed with us once, but again, do they have the money? You're paying Trout all this. You're paying Rendon. They don't have the money to re-sign Ohtani.
And how much is it going to take to re-sign? Yeah. Don't you think it's time to move on from Trout as well? Going on 31 years old.
Of course. He can't.
They've got to move him.
It's concerning. He hasn't played over what? He hasn't played a full season or at least even 75% of a season in 3 years. Can't hit the high fastball anymore. Swing's not level like it used to be. Doesn't steal bases. Doesn't play defense like he used to be. He's just a home run, walk, double or strikeout guy. And it's concerning. Like, I don't know what they did with his swing, but if you just throw Trout a high fastball, he can't hit it. He just can't hit it. He's going for the low fastball.
You can say the same with Ohtani too. He's got a big loop in his swing,
exactly.
which is why he's hitting 250. Now he's going to hurt you if you make a mistake and leave a ball out there over the plate, but he's another guy you can get out if you pitch him right. He's a 250 hitter, and he should be a lot better.
So will Trout, and he's just not the same player. I know he goes on these streaks, but 268 and then the slumps of 0 for 30 at one point, and then like another 0 for 20. I mean, I know some of the best hitters in the league, like Mookie Betts, Trout, you know, Buxton, all those guys are, you know, streaky hitters, but Austin Riley, but... You know, it's concerning to me. Jake, what are your thoughts here?
I mean, Trout's hitting 270, 24 home runs. His on-base percentage is down, but his slugging percent, he's still slugging 600, which is above his career average. His OPS is just below his career average of 1,000, which is insane. So, I mean, Trout's still, I think, a top 10 player in the league as of now.
Of course,
No, but I don't like the Trout slander. I'm not a fan of it. But I do think in terms of the Angels, their farm system sucks. Like, it's not like they can replenish the major league talent with the farm system, which is what most bad teams are trying to do. The Angels farm system is bottom five in baseball. There is no talent anywhere
bottom
in the organization.
Bottom five. That's nice. That's generous. They're the worst by far. They don't even have a player close to the top 100
prospect.
They don't
have a top 100 prospect now.
So if they were to trade Trout and Ohtani, or one or the other, how much better could the farm system realistically get?
If you trade Trout and Ohtani, you can land, what, 4 or 5 top prospects?
So does that make you top 15?
But they won't pan out. That's the problem. They won't pan out.
Yeah, on paper, theoretically, you could build a championship team with the prospects you can get for these two, but you just made a good point. They'll probably screw up with the prospects they get with this front office they have.
Joe Adell was the best prospect in baseball. He can't stay in the MLB. He can't. And it's crazy to see.
It's harder to stay there than it is to get there.
Well, and you do you watch every Angel game? Like,
no, God, no.
Okay.
why would I put myself
I go through that, and then you can see that Trout's swing has gotten substantially worse. When he's on, he's the best player in baseball. There's no doubt about it. So it's not Mike Trout slander. But when you throw him high fastballs, his strikeout rate's high. It has been the past couple of years. He can't hit the way he used to. He could hit at all.
His body's breaking down.
Exactly. When he was athletic and young.
He's owed 8 years and $300 million. Now, who would be a taker for him? I guess maybe the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, maybe the Phillies, you know, since that's where he's from and he's a lifelong Phillies fan. But he wouldn't be easy to – and just think 4 or 5 years from now, they might have to eat that contract the way he's going right now. The last 3 or 4 years might be a disaster.
Yeah, Dave, I kind of wanted to pivot. We were talking earlier about Kyler Murray and this weird addendum in his contract. About them requiring him to have 4 hours of independent study and studying Gameful on his own a week. If he's able to do that and kind of check in and lock in, do you think this benefits the Cardinals? Do you think they have any shot in the NFC West this year, or is it the Rams division to lose?
Well, that was a strange one, reading about that, why they would put that in somebody's head. 4 hours a week? I mean, you look at the great ones like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. They go 4 hours a night. They bring tape home with them and watch it in their houses. I do think it's the Rams division this year, and I think the Cardinals have a Cliff Kingsbury problem. I would have fired him after last year because this has been a pattern with him in college at Texas Tech, and now his teams collapse in the second half of seasons, and they never finish strong. And I think the league's caught, I don't know what you guys think, I think the league's caught up to Kyler Murray a little bit. He's a little guy, he's 5'9" or 5'10", and and they kind of fence him in and force him to be a pocket quarterback, and he has not played well in the second half of the season, especially last year. And that playoff loss to the Rams was a disaster. I just don't know if I would have given him that 235 if I were the Cardinals. I think the league's figured him out a little bit.
I agree with you, Dave. I agree. I think most front offices would agree, too. Yeah. Yeah, Amar Mann,
and you Kingsbury would have been gone. Kingsbury would have been gone after last year if I own the Cardinals.
Brandon, I know that you were a little hesitant about the Rams love fest going on. What do you think about the
NFC division, West? NFC West? I disagree, Dave. I think it's two team division if Trey Lance is any good, because the Niners have.
Well, I'm a Niners fan. I'm with you.
Thank you. Then why are we with the Rams? I mean,
but he's a realistic Niners fan. You're like a pilot.
Well, I'm not realistic. One interception, we win the Super Bowl. If Stafford, if Tart catches that, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. And Stafford's
He didn't.
That is true.
About Lance? I'm hopeful, but who knows about Lance?
Who He's knows? I mean, did you hear that report? Yeah. Did you hear that report that executives in the NFC are like, they think it's an early Christmas present if they trade Garoppolo and start Lance?
I heard Lance is an
I'm a Jimmy G fan. I might be in the minority, but I'm a big Jimmy G fan. That guy is a winner. When you look at his record,
he is a winner. He's a winner.
I like Jimmy G. I don't know why he gets all the hate
and he's very attractive. Women love him. I mean, it's important. He's a team guy. You know, it's like, how could you not like the man?
Yes.
Right.
Let me give you a team. I love the Saints this year. I think the Saints can be a Super Bowl team. I think everybody's sleeping on. They went 9-8 last year without Jameis and without Michael Thomas and with all the injuries. Now they have Michael Thomas back. They drafted Chris Olave. Kamara will probably get a 6-game suspension, but they'll have him back. Jameis was great last year. I think like 15 touchdowns and 3 interceptions when he got hurt in that Tampa Bay game. And they have the best defense of the NFL. That 9-8 last year, what does that translate to when you add Michael Thomas and Chris Olave and Jameis? I think they're
especially
13-14
in such a weak conference. There's really the Niners, Rams, Buccaneers, and then Saints, Packers. Those are the only teams that can contend, right, in the NFC. I'm not sold on the Packers.
I'm not entirely out on the Cowboys yet either.
Cowboys, Eagles, and Cowboys. I don't know.
I saw the Vegas numbers the other day. +330 to win their division, +1600 to get to the Super Bowl. I kind of like those numbers with New Orleans right now.
I don't think they beat the Niners, Rams, or Bucks, but I do think they make the playoffs for sure. I agree with you.
How about winning the division? They've beaten the Bucks, 6 in a row in the regular season, I think.
It's possible.
Four in a row, whatever it is.
And it's also important to note that Kamara's stats were 100% better when Jameis played versus when they had Ian Book and Semien and all those guys who can't play the quarterback position. I mean, Kamara was
just... And they still went 9-8.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you.
Dave,
how many games is Kamara going to get suspension-wise? At least 6, right? What do you think?
I believe so.
He's going to get 6?
I would think so.
Yeah, it's possible. But, I mean, they have such a good team now. It's like...
There's an example right there. When you've got bodyguards and that jackass fan, he was bothering Kamara and his people all night, and he put his hands on him and tried to force his way into an elevator, and then they knocked him to the ground. Why run over there and punch him and kick? You let your security handle that stuff. Let them beat the hell out of him. That's what you're paying them for. Don't get involved.
Yeah, and what do you think about Deshaun Watson? Do you think he plays at all this year? That could be a suitor for Jimmy G, right?
Wow, yeah, that's a good one. I would guess maybe 8 games with him.
Really?
You might be right about that, but since all criminal charges were dropped and they said they didn't have a case, the Houston DA's office, I'm thinking maybe 8 for him, and who knows what the truth is in that situation as well.
Dave, we're in the final minute here, and in terms of the AFC North, this might come as a surprise to you, but I'm a Chicago Bears fan. I was big on Mitch Trubisky. We just talked about the Browns and Deshaun Watson.
Me too.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you. What are your thoughts on Trubisky and the Steelers? So what are you thinking in terms of record-wise with Mitch at the helm?
I would say they're a double-digit win team, I think, with Mitch at the helm of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and maybe better than that. Yeah, he's athletic. He can make plays with his arms and his legs, and I think he was in a horrible situation with a bad organization and a terrible coach. I think now with Tomlin, we're going to see Trubisky's a good NFL quarterback. I'm with you. I like him.
I love the sound of that so much. Thank you. You just made my day.
Well, thank you so much, Dave, for always being here as per usual, and you are the best. I did actually want to ask also the NFC least. Like, you got 20 seconds. What do you think about my NFC least conference, and who's going to come out of that?
Eagles.
Boy, that's a good question. I think you have to go Dallas there when you look at all every other team. You know, the Eagles quarterback situation, you know, the what with the Redskins slash I forgot. What is their name again? The Washington
Commanders.
Commanders.
Yeah, the Commanders. I already forgot. And yeah. The Giants. Yeah, I think you got to go Cowboys.
Yeah.
There.
Well,
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that news, but, you know, it is what it is. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Again, Dave, as per usual, you're the best. Let's do this again tomorrow, guys. Until then, this is the Arash Markazi Show saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.